5 is an application for subdivision and rezoning for Burning Glass Road under file DASZ 12 of 2009.
We only have 2 people registered. Both are in support. I think we recognize this fellow. I have Eric Vogan, who's at the podium, and Lynn Jones registered in support. These are the only 2 people I have registered for this item. Is there anybody else in the gallery who wishes to speak? Seeing none. Yes, Mr. Vogan, I think we have a... Although I don't want to jump to any conclusions.
I have a lot.
perhaps I was jumping the gun in the recent past. But I don't, there's nobody registered in opposition. Perhaps if you're going to make some brief comments, that would be fine, and you could focus on any challenges that you see in the reports as they exist.
thank you. I did have a slide, but I think I can dispense with that, given that nobody up there needs to see it. But I do have some handouts that I would like to do for context of this. This 10-acre parcel is the subject of a project that could be as many as 300 units. These are all the comments.
Are you referring to both zonings, Eric, when you say the 10-acre parcel?
Pardon me?
Both zonings when you say the 10-acre parcel?
The zoning we are pursuing will be RMF medium. The PR zoning, we have agreed with the administration to remove that and instead place the berm on private property. But I apologize for maybe making this longer than you may think it is, but... This project is a significant one for Sage Creek. Some 300 units would equate to a value of perhaps $40 million, and we're seeing as a key element to our village center and our ongoing success in Sage Creek. I have given your clerk, Mark Pate, three drawings. One is a general sketch which describes the general nature of the area structure plan. Our proposed area is in the northwest corner of that village center area. And you will see that this particular area is a portion of the village center, but also adjacent to the linear park system, which goes from Bishop Grand and then Lajmadiere down to the center of the development and the hydro corridor in the middle. It's also immediately west of the head office and Winnipeg branch building project that we have going on right now. And this project will form a part of phase 3, which was that project, and we'll call this phase B. We are working with a multifamily developer to try and get something together so that we can see a start in the fall of this year. And a key thing to that is getting concrete in the ground before freeze-up. We see the multifamily development, rental multifamily development, as a key to adding another facet to Sage Creek in terms of offering the variety of opportunities that were envisioned when we first started. And we put out letters to every Sage Creek resident about a month and a half ago, and we received 2 responses. And my response to them was basically what you'll be hearing tonight, and they appear to have been satisfied with that. At this point, we have about 150 households in occupation. By the end of the year, we'll see 190. And the addition of a multifamily project will further accelerate the timing and the success of Sage Creek to the point where the commercial couldn't take off earlier than would have been the case otherwise. Another thing we will have to do with this project is take this 10-acre parcel and break it up into parcels that will allow for individual financing and better phasing for the project. That will be a short form of subdivision. It won't require a public hearing, but there will likely be variances coming out of that application due to front yards, which will be inadequate until the whole plan unfolds. I took our potential customer to a meeting of Barry Thorgrimson, Kevin Lawler, and Martin Grady to discuss how to move this project forward. And it was suggested that we look at what we need to do in order to streamline the approval process and what we could do in order to ensure that people understood what the big picture was. The first thing that we wanted to do was ask your committee to waive the requirement that the plan approval be approved at your community committee. I would ask that plan approval be made by the ward councilor, if that is okay with your committee. I think that way you've got the professional support of the city and the councilor most impacted is able to do it. What I'm hoping there is that I can find Mr. Vandell's schedule somewhat more flexible than the entire committee's. So. Pardon me? I'll go to the beach. that would be impressive. But it may be a September approval, but what we want to do is ensure that we have a chance to get this project going this fall. This multifamily developer we're talking to has crews which are on a project. Last winter they had to be laid off due to a lapse in the construction schedule, and we would like to basically facilitate the ongoing development here. These fellows are experienced, and certainly when we look at bringing rental multifamily development to Sage Creek, we're taking a good look at this project ourselves. We're going to look at not only the architectural facets, but the experience, the financial capability, and the property management of the developer. And I can say that so far we're happy, but we will be doing further diligence in that regard. I would now like to pursue the details present in the administration report. We've read the reports and we have a number of comments. The first requirement that I would ask, again, I guess is a repeat, and I believe you now have in your possession a one-pager that's got all these requirements on them. Recommendation 2A1 is where I would ask that Councillor Vandell, as ward councillor, be responsible for approval rather than the entire committee. Recommendation 2A3 involves a plan for the berm, which will be on private land, on the multifamily land. We would ask that...
It's page 6.
Are we talking about the ACG here?
This is the administrative report. As I've seen it, I don't know.
It's confusing because on the other page is also a 2A3, but there's it's if you turn
two,
to page
it would be
six.
I guess on the second page of the administrative report.
Okay,
sorry, I did that for a while too.
Yeah, 2A3. It describes the creation of a berm that will be. In the exaggerated side yard, or the special side yard, I should say, of the project site. And this is the area where we were otherwise talking about a PR1. We would ask that the consultation on the design of this berm occur prior to issuing occupancy permits for the development rather than issuing building or development permits. There's also in that clause a requirement that the berm up at Lajmadière and Bishop Grandin be similar in style to the berm which is adjacent to the single-family residential further south. And there are some differences there. And given that there are differences, we would ask that the clause that it be done in a similar fashion to that berm be removed. I have had a brief talk with the administration on that topic, and I don't know whether surely you've received any coded nods from Donna Beaton on that. But that's all I can mention at this point. Under land use analysis, again, this is the mention where there was in the original advertising a PR1 zone strip. We have agreed with the city to remove that strip and the entire site is to be zoned RMFM.
Okay.
In Schedule B of the administration report, which is the ACG report, further into the body of it, There is a requirement in the wording there that says that a sidewalk on Burning Glass Road be built prior to the issuance of building permits. I would again ask that the word building permit be removed and occupancy permit be replaced in its stead.
Okay.
And the final thing I'd like to talk about is Appendix C, which is some design guidelines, which we received last Thursday afternoon. I had, as mentioned earlier, met with Mr. Sorgensen, Lawler, and Grady on this issue, and we are interested in making sure that we've got a thorough review, yet one that has a good chance of being underway this fall. Schedule C, or Appendix C, brings up several design items that I guess are worrisome. I think that although several of the items in there are good for consideration, I think the concern, and I think it's a proper concern I have, is that the this report with the appendix on it may be taken to be something that looks much more important in terms of having to be followed as part of the council order. There are a number of items in there. There are maybes and there are shalls and there are shoulds and there are advices, but there are several points in there which I know do not work very well for multifamily development. Others I know do work, and certainly many of them we support. What I would like to ask your committee to do is to take this Appendix C as information rather than as part of the ongoing council recommendation and set it aside as such so that it can be considered for advice in the plan approval, but not have its words come back as something which we have to follow through to the letter in the subsequent development agreement.
Question.
Well, let him finish first. Or are you finished?
That is my final issue.
Okay. Councillor Vandell?
Question to the planner about Appendix C. I can't recall one of these appendixes lately in applications I've dealt with. Can you give us some context on this? And
yes, we've used them in other applications. I think the first one, or more recently, we used them this year for the IKEA development. We had a lot of positive feedback from the members of the public, members of EPC, as well as the developer. So we started using them more often. If I recall, it was Councillor Wyatt, Councillor Clement, actually, if you recall, quoted parts of it during the public hearing process. And we use those guidelines to indicate how we're going to look at the plan when they did get submitted. We used them for the development at Riverbend up in LSWK. Prior to that, actually one on Fernbank, actually that Qualico had. It was the back of the report as an appendix. They're just best practices the planners have written down and provided for information over the last few years to developers of multiple family sites. We've either, usually before a plan approval process or during it, it might be an email or a letter or a memo. We started putting it more often into the reports to provide information up front, both to the councillors as well as to the applicant and members of the public, to let them know what we're generally looking for themes that we've learned across from development applications in terms of best practices. So it's a tool we've been using more and more often at the back of reports. Like I said, we've used it in other forms. We've had some positive feedback on it, so.
Is it something that, in terms of agreement, legal binding agreement, that what's the status of it?
Not at all. The zoning agreement, clearly our legal services.
It's not a zoning agreement,
is what I'm trying to say. Our legal services and the clerk will probably confirm this. The information that moves forward to council is just on the first page, the recommendations, which is the plan approval. That's all. The whole report goes forward, but what's adopted by council is the recommendations on the first page, and that's what goes to legal services. We've used this, like I said, for a number of applications. I don't think legal services ever confused them as part of a zoning agreement yet.
He's right. Mark? Nothing in the recommendation ties this application to anything that's set on Schedule C outside of the fact that these are
guidelines
to develop.
For information that we like to provide to the public.
find out?
I guess I'm trying to figure out how to shape this in the form of a question, but Eric, do you usually not bring, you know, you go out, you seek out an architect, you get your design done, and you bring the features that you want as a developer involved in your, isn't that sort of the way the process works? Usually not us telling you what we expect to see, and then you having to take that to your architect and having that design?
Well, true enough. We are well-versed in writing architectural controls, and basically what we have here in Appendix C is somewhat of an architectural control, certainly a development control, but it...
John, this is a public hearing. I've asked a question.
But it... When we write an architectural control, we are very careful to say what shall be required, and the word shall is used within the body of this thing, and there's a regular difference and very careful language in terms of what is encouraged and what is required, and I don't have a problem with these ideas coming up and getting vetted as part of the process, but the idea that a gazebo comes up as best practice when you're going, okay, who's going to sleep in the gazebo at night, who's going to take care of the gazebo, who's going to get rights to use the gazebo, I don't think that this thing has received, I think, the adequate vetting that I would be supporting it myself. I think the idea of it being a good control or design guidelines being handed out at time of application or meetings with the planner would be good. But this is, I think, a very very young document, and I think something that needs to be improved before it gets any legs.
When you go about doing design, you must refer at length to our new zoning bylaw, which has, it's got some pretty specific design standards in it already.
True enough.
And so as long as you're within that, you would expect that we would be looking at it in the context of our zoning bylaw.
True enough. And those requirements are somewhat broader than they were before. But I bring up the problems. For example, there's a talk about a specific lighting plan as a recommendation in here. Now, a lighting plan, lighting is often included as part of the landscape architect's overall plan, and I think that's a good place for it. I'm concerned that we will have to go get a lighting expert in a situation where we're trying to get something done quickly, although I certainly want to make sure that we've got no lighting leakage out to other areas of the site. I'm worried about being hampered by such things as a lighting plan.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Bogan. We'll ask you to stand down, and we have one other person.
Thank you for your time.
Yep. Lynn Jones, your note in support, you're good. Those are all the speakers we have registered. Councillor Vandal.
Okay, questions of the administration. Okay, the suggested change was from building permits to occupancy permits, building or development permits to occupancy permits. Any comments?
The only comment we can add is then you wouldn't get your plan approval until before they got an occupancy permit. Because the landscaping berming is tied to the plan approval, they have to show it on the plan approval process, which is in Clause 1. So if they want their berming to be completed prior to the occupancy or approved prior to the occupancy, then it won't show up on the plan approval under Clause 1. And it makes reference to that in the first sentence of the third condition. And if you recall, the first phase, first clause indicates that plan approval includes landscaping for the entire site.
So you have to add those clauses so that the berm approval would come later.
Yes.
Okay, great. So it's not that you couldn't do it, you just have to amend.
You'd have to amend the first one, so then you wouldn't get to until the building constructed and it's landscaped.
You're talking about recommendation 1, John?
Yes. That's why recommendation 3 is tied to actually recommendation 1.
I'm reading recommendation 1 now. With the city containing all the conditions outlined in Schedule B. Yeah, these things.
Are you reading recommendation 1 in the ACG or in the planner's report?
No, in the administrative report.
The plan of subdivision code would be proof of preparation of a plan of subdivision by a Defensible Land Surveyors in accordance with Schedule
but
A.
You're looking at 2A1.
2A1. That the development of any building under accessory parking area signage plan shall be submitted showing the location of design of the proposed building, location of design of accessory parking areas, and signage for plan approval prior to the issuance of any building permits. It doesn't say.
John is saying that the landscaping.
Landscaping and signage
are
all in the one. So the clause, the third clause, mm-hmm. it has to be shown as part of landscaping in clause one.
Okay, so we could change it in clause one as well.
Change, so then you'd have to change in clause one, then you wouldn't.
Landscaping get except for berming.
With for the, berming within
the buffer.
Within the buffer, then you'd have to change that one then. So then okay. you wouldn't get that clause. You wouldn't see the plan approval until after the building was constructed in the site landscape.
What he just suggested was that you put landscaping and then in brackets.
In
whatever,
brackets, you
with
have
the
to,
exception
with
of
the
berming.
Exception of the berming within the 50.
What? 50 meters.
10 meter.
Okay.
Within the 10 meter.
Within the 10 meter buffer strip adjacent to Lajimony Boulevard.
Okay, so if we make that change, run it by me one more time. I just want to make sure I'm
so if you make that change, they still have to come in for their plan approval before they get a development and building permit.
Okay.
And he's suggesting that go to the ward councilor, not to the Rail Community Committee. So okay. then you will see the entire plan except for that part regarding the berming. And then they can construct the whole building, do everything, and then before they reissue an occupancy permit, he'd have to come in and show the berming.
Okay. But that's not what he was asking for.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yeah, that accomplishes exactly
what he
wants.
Asking.
Okay.
But that's what you're asking for, right?
Can we, Mr. Vogan gets a chance to come back, does he not?
He hasn't returned a rebuttal yet. You haven't returned a rebuttal.
Okay. Okay, well, we'll have to clarify that with him. You got that word, the wording?
Yep. And you might want to clear with them occupancy of one building or all buildings. Before we issue any kind of occupancy permit, then it would have to be every building would have to come forward.
Yeah. Well, I guess what I'm hearing here is that what the councillor for the area is trying to accomplish is accommodating this request. So how
yes.
would we do that?
So we'd have to indicate if it's just one building or the first 50 units or something like that.
I wonder if it might be easier to bring Mr. Vogan down while we do this.
That's probably a good idea.
Okay. Because if it reads occupancy permit, every time he comes in for an occupancy permit, he'd have to resubmit the plans to go to
berming.
To go to the area council?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The berm will be designed once, and we will, and it won't be the same berm, or we don't intend it to be the same berm as further south.
So, Eric, does prior to the issuance of any occupancy permits, does that do the task for you?
We expect this project to take a few years.
But you'll know what the berm's going to look like.
We will start the berm as early as we can, and we'll try and get it designed as early as possible.
The design would be consistent across the entire length of Lajimodji?
Well, if the berm will run from the intersection of Bishop Grandin and Lajimodji to the north end of the commercial site, then there will be no berm because there's no sound attenuation. We want visual excitement rather than sound attenuation there. And then another berm rises up south of the commercial site, south of Sage Creek Boulevard.
But the berm
so this berm is an 800-foot berm.
The berm attached to this piece, the area of the application tonight, that you would know what that was going to look like before you built the first building.
We would certainly have it general shape, but we wouldn't have the landscaping details and have it. An agreement with the project developer as to whether it's going to be fence or a hedge, for example. Like we want to get that stuff figured out.
But if you're saying prior to occupancy, you would know that. Like you're, this berm is going to be the same all the way along. It's either going to be a hedge or a fence.
Yes, and we would have the winter to work on it. Whereas we're looking for a building permit for the first building or two this fall, I would expect.
But occupancy you wouldn't expect until after the winter.
True, next spring.
So you would know what this area is going to look like at the point of
occupancy. Yeah, the first occupancy would be,
right.
I think, a good time.
Okay. So by the time you're ready for first occupancy, you would know what that berm is going to look like.
Yeah, and then we'll have it approved and we'll move on.
Okay.
Then we worded it so that it's
first occupancy permit, because if it's just occupancy permit, every time he comes in for the next 10 years for an occupancy permit.
Unless he's got the berm already done.
Yes.
Like you could, yeah.
But we can't go wrong by putting first occupancy permit.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong by putting first occupancy.
Okay, well, let's do that. Good. Just to, okay, are those all the points here? Ward counselor?
Well, there's, we'll just go down in order here. The history.
Yeah, okay. He also asked that the last sentence of condition 2A3 be removed.
And that all berming within the aforementioned buffer breaking pieces of the tunnel technical grounds, the berms are already constructed along the east side of Elijah Modia. Yeah, why wouldn't it? So it's subject to plan approval is all you need there, right?
Yes. We're okay with that change.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's
so, okay.
Delete the entire sentence.
Because yeah, it may actually be better looking.
Okay, thanks,
John. That's fine.
Okay.
Am I missing anything here, Mark?
No.
How about the whole issue of plan approval? Is that like the reason for plan approval for the council is just to expedite this whole thing if we need to? That's the rationale.
So you don't.
Well, I've been advised that you care to be involved, and that this might be the most flexible way of ensuring your involvement without hampering a fall permit.
Are we ruffling any legal feathers by? Have we ever done that?
Only if they come in first to the community committee, and then if there needs to be some changes, then it's delegated afterwards.
Well, we've done it before here.
But we can get community committee approval here.
Yeah, well, usually, well, your community committee is next time's meeting is July, nothing in August, so then after that, September, so I'm not sure what his timing is for getting a building permit. If he comes in with a plan that you're comfortable with, we would issue like foundation permits and things like that, and then we would then bring it to the Real Community Committee at the next one.
This is a very similar slope to what caused these crews to be laid off last winter. That's what concerns me. There's only so many meetings you have in the fall.
Why don't we just get the Real Community Committee to sign off on plan approval subject to the ward councillor's approval?
Right, due to timing constraints.
Yeah.
Because we're trying to get this in the ground in September. If time is the issue, why wouldn't we just do that? Yeah. The plans come here and go to the
agenda anyway.
We usually try to facilitate them as much as we can. Usually, like I said, if we get a set of plans in, it's a long time before next week. We shop it to the ward counselor. If the ward counselor is okay, then we issue foundation permits and other permits to get things going.
Okay, anything else, Councilor Mandel?
So where did we land on?
Well, yes, it's good. We're going to the motion.
I like the suggestion of Riel, if the other members are comfortable with it, delegating plan approval to the ward councillor or approving it subject to the ward councillor's approval, if the other two are fine with it.
Yeah. Unless all I do is change the wording to reflect that the plan shall be submitted to the ward councillor for plan approval.
Due to specific time constraints on this project, because we don't want it to be policy. We want it to be... specific to this project.
Are you still not for everything else?
Yeah, yes.
Just for this one, and other times just you want me to keep using Real? Exactly. For all the other ones? Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else, Councilor Bandel?
No, I just want to make sure Mark's got that wording on.
Just bear with me.
When we actually vote on this.
Ball is still in your court, Councilor Vandal.
Okay.
Well, this
going down. Sorry, Councilor Vandal. Yeah. You want me to follow his submission?
Yes, I have.
Well, I think the history component of it is. Do we have agreement that there were some errors in adjacent zonings and uses?
But
it hasn't been. If you look at the Amanda map at the back of the report, the zoning hasn't changed.
I don't think it's a big deal anyway.
Yeah, that's not a big deal.
Like, who cares? The latest zoning map we have.
Okay. Okay. And
in
Schedule B, the ACG report, we ask that Clause B2 in the words building permit be replaced with occupancy permit. Is that sort of mutatis mutandi based on what we talked about earlier?
Wait, say that again, you mutatis whatever.
Yeah. Is that the exact same issue that we just discussed?
Yeah, we did.
Hold on.
No?
No, it's acceptable to the ACG.
Okay.
Can I just ask a quick question here while we're in this? You know what? We just gave the
cost per acre down to $100 because there was only six lots going on that large acreage, with this kind of density, would we be going up from the $1,200?
That would be a good idea.
No. Okay, Councillor Vandell, the next suggested amendment was to amend clause B2 in the ACG to replace the words building permit with the words occupancy permit.
Which is agreeable to the administration.
I have no problem with that.
Is okay with that as well.
And then the last question we have to consider is the global question of making Appendix C as information as opposed to the report going forward to council.
Well, I think Appendix C already is received as information, and I have no problem explicitly stating that if need be. And
so procedurally, you can make a recommendation outside of your recommendation to council that it be severed from the report and it won't go forward, Appendix C, if that's what he wants.
Or just let it go forward as information.
It is as information
as part
now.
Of the plan approval.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Like, Schedule C has no bearing on the recommendation, although
I think this goes too far.
Has
voice concerns.
Well, just put it in then. Let Councillor Vandell voice that in his comments in the motion.
Yeah.
Fair enough. That way there's no...
So, Mark, you're saying that...
The plan seems to be in keeping with...
Well, you can sever
it's
if
moot.
You want.
He's not going to sever it. That's not what he's doing.
Yeah. I don't necessarily want to sever it.
Okay, well, that's...
Receive it as information, and you're saying that's what it is anyway.
He wants to sever it.
I don't think it should be anywhere near this process. I think the zoning bylaw already gives us our direction. Like, to go this far, I think, is somebody... it's us trying to design somebody else's development.
But what is your will, Councillor? Well, we're not considering motions yet anyway. But we have your comments. I think what we can do at this stage is we can move to Councillor Vandell's motion and ask the delegation to retire to the gallery.
Yes.
Thanks, sir. Councillor Vandell. Okay. We'll move that the Winnipeg Public Service Report be taken as read. All those in favor, opposed, carried. The receipt of public representations be concluded. Favor, opposed, carried.